بسم الله. Surah Al-Takathur. This surah it's a wake-up call for those people who are distracted from the truth and distracted by the dunya. There's a Dawood Warnsby tape that has this surah on it. You guys remember that? Do you know what's the nasheed that comes after the surah? Yeah, it's Sunshine, Dust, and the Messenger, that tape. And it's about the distraction, all the sounds that surround us, all the noise that confound us. On that, as the reciter recited, because I listened to that recitation a lot, and then the more I kept listening to the recitation and the translation, the more I kept thinking more and more about this surah. And there was an article, I believe it was a New York Times article or something like that, where they were mentioning how so many people started going back to the church after 9/11, especially in New York. And they were like interviewing different priests and whatnot. And they said that one of the priests was commenting, he said, before 9/11, everybody was caught up in the dunya. Right? They're just trying to get a bigger paycheck, and just trying to get a fancier car, fancier house. And he said, and most of those type of people were the kind that were in that area of the World Trade Center. Right, that was their lifestyle, the rat race and trying to get more money. And then in a split second, they lost their lives. And the priest was saying that people realized that this is not the mission of life. Because this is what these people were thinking, and then their lives were snuffed out. So there must be some other meaning to life than what we're told in the media that it's all about, collecting toys. There was actually a bumper sticker that said that life is about collecting toys, and the winner at the life is a game, and the winner at the end with the most toys, you know, or the one with the most toys is the winner. All right, you seen that bumper sticker?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah is telling us about our distraction in lives, and basically that distraction is coming from our wealth or our offsprings. And this distraction, when we say that someone is distracted, they're distracted from something, from that which will bring them benefit in the hereafter, that will bring them benefit in their true life, and that is the life of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Hakum. Al-Hakum is the lahu, diverts you. At-Takathur. At-Takathur, it says there, the mutual rivalry for the piling up of worldly things. What that is, At-Takathur is basically At-Tabahi, which means to show off. To gather, I guess in our culture, it would be the meaning of, you know how they have the Jones and the Smiths, right? And the person next to you is buying something like a fancier car than the one you have, so you have to keep up with that. And then when you get a better car than they, and they look at your car and they say, now I have to get a better car than him. And it goes back and forth. And that is at-takathur, the piling up and the showing off to other people. Now, I was reading in marketing books, if you notice the Volkswagen, right? Volkswagen, the most popular American car was the Volkswagen Beetle. In all of history, that was the most popular car. It was cheap, it looked kind of funny, right? And I'm talking about the old one, not the new one. Volkswagen actually is, and you may not know, this is like car talk here, is a luxury car company. They're a luxury car company. They brought a cheap car to America, which became so popular, but they're a luxury car company. And they said that now, their cars are actually very, very expensive. right? And they brought in the new Beetle and stuff like that. They're very expensive, but they said that it failed miserably in America. Because in the people's minds, they said that Volkswagen is attached to cheap cars. So if you pay, like you get a Volkswagen SUV, right? Sports utility vehicle, for those who don't know. You get one of those, and it costs $60,000. And as soon as the people see, oh, it's Volkswagen, how much do you pay for this? $15,000? And they said, because people, they said they would, the American people will not pay $60,000 for a car when everybody else thinks that they paid, you know, $20,000, $30,000. Because of Tabahi. That's why it failed. There's no way they're going to do that. They're going to pay that much money if the people don't even think that they paid that much money. So they'll get a car where the people will think that they spent it because it's all about showing off to the other person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Al-Hakum wa Takathur. And like we mentioned about the river of life, that it just pushes the people along. They just let go of their hands and just let the river push them, push them, push them. And where is the waterfall? Hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Until zurtum is like until you visit the graves. Al-maqabir are the graves. And zurtum here means death. Because it's a visit with no return. And if someone, like I said, doesn't know the tafsir, they might think, oh, when you go to the graves, you remember it about death, and then you come back, and then you do tawbah and stuff like that. Zurtum here doesn't mean that. It means death. And it's a metaphor for death, as Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions. And the word death, subhanAllah, has many euphemisms. You know what a euphemism is? Okay. Death has, I'm going to give you one, they say, kick the bucket, right? Can anybody give me any other euphemisms for death? He passed away, or he passed on. He bought the farm. Yeah. I have that in my special list. He bought the farm. Like you said, kick the bucket. He croaked, right? What other one? Yeah? He's gone to his maker. That's right. Bit the bullet. He bit the dust also. What's that? He went on to the big house. He got snuffed out. Correct. The one about the, like, bite the dust. You know when a guy pulls out a gun and he says, bite the dust, and then he hits the guy. Actually, in Arabic, they say, raghma anfihi. Right? Because if you ever fall down, if you ever fall down, your nose never hits the ground. You will always put your hands out and stop it before your nose hits the ground. You always have hands. But if you ever fall and your nose hits the ground, that means you're completely destroyed. So they'll say, رَغْمَ أَنْفِهِ, and they'll translate it as, may your nose be rubbed in dust, meaning may you die. This is a visit with no return. And subhanAllah, it's almost as if the human being goes through life thinking that they're only going to be visiting the graves. And this is actually, in the society, and you'll see that in the Qur'an, when they go into hellfire, they'll say, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. They'll say, oh Allah, send us back. Okay, now we're on our visit to the grave, and we've seen hellfire, send us back to the dunya, we'll be great believers. You know, we'll go to the masjid, we'll help them build the masjid, and you know, we'll do good, inshaAllah. However, it's a visit with no return, and at that time, it will be too late. These two sentences are tawbih. Tawbih means to shame a person. It's they're verses of shame to a person. Al-Hakum, you are distracted by this mutual rivalry, or this tabahi. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the grave. There's a hadith, inshallah, that I'm going to share with you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يقول ابن آدم, that the son of Adam says, مالي مالي. He says, my wealth, my wealth. وَهَلْ لَكَ مِن مَالِكَ. Do you have anything of your wealth? إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ. Except that which you ate and you extinguished, or you finished it off. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. Or you wore it until you can no longer wear it and it got ruined. أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Or you gave sadaqah and then you passed and let it go. And so actually, as the Prophet ﷺ saying, that the only thing that a person really benefits from their wealth, is that which was spent for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything was used for eating, or anything used for wearing, if they didn't have the intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's gone. Never to return. And these people, and you're seeing, like I said, the issue of wealth and the person's infatuation coupled with ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll see, for example, the life of a Scrooge, right? A Scrooge, someone who's miserly. They collect their money, and sometimes they'll even enslave themselves to that money. They may have all that money, but they're still willing to lead a miserable life so long as they can continue to collect more money. Because to them the issue is about collecting the money. What happens when they die, they realize, look, this whole life, I haven't enjoyed it. I've been collecting this money, and now all these sons and daughters are going to be inheriting the money. So what do they do in the end? They give it all to the dog. Right? Let's say, here's $2 million to Freddy the dog. Forget, you know, all the inheritors. And they cut them all out. Right? And to continue their Scrooge-ness and their miserliness. And I was reading in a novel, and don't get the wrong idea. It helps me better my English and so on. So, in this novel, I usually read spy ones. So, they're about to, you know, this guy, he's the hitman for Carlos, right? And he's about to kill the hero of the story. And the hero of the story actually has a lot of money, right? He has millions and millions of dollars. Because he's kind of like an assassin also. So he pulls out the gun and he said, alright, this is the end. And so he says, look, how much is Carlos paying you anyway? You know, I'll double that. Triple. Whatever he's giving you. And he said, kalimatu haq, in reply. He said, you want to see the accent here? He said, my friend. He said, money is only relative to the amount of time one has to enjoy it. Right? Wealth is only relative to the amount of time one has to enjoy it. Meaning he takes the money from this hero and he's got one day before Carlos kills him. But I said, kalimatu haq, a word of truth, because this is exactly the wealth. It's only relative to how much time you have to enjoy it. So you can make $120,000 a year, but you only have a few years to enjoy it. And then that's it. It doesn't matter how much money it was, your life will be over, and then you'll be going to the hereafter to see what you did and what you were tested with that wealth. So you look at the time aspect of this dunya and the time aspect of the hereafter, and then you'll know what to do with your wealth, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it starts speaking about the graves and hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla, that this is the wrong understanding. Sawfa ta'lamun, that you're going to see it. And you shall come to know. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. And that again, nay, you shall come to know. These are actually, this is not an emphasis. Those two verses, 3 and 4, they're not an emphasis. They're two different things. Because the person, as soon as they die, they will know the reality of their life. They will know the reality immediately. Because the punishment begins as soon as the person, even his soul being extracted. And we'll see that in Surah An-Nazi'at. From the moment he dies, they will know the truth of their ways. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمُقَابَرِ, it ends when a person dies. And then the second one, they will know the reality when they die, and then at resurrection, when it's to either heaven or hell, they will know the reality. Because it's stages. The hereafter comes in stages. الْقِيَامَةُ الصُّغْرَى, the minor qiyamah, resurrection, is when someone dies. The hereafter begins right then. And the qiyamah al-kubra, the major resurrection, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the trumpet is blown and the people stand up for the qiyamah. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that you'll know your misjudgment when you witness the assembly of humanity on the Day of Judgment. I remember in the pop culture someone saying that, you know, the reason that the road is less traveled, you know, maybe there's a reason behind it not being less traveled. Meaning because they're saying that it's leading in the wrong direction. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, don't accept the false security of all the people that are going down the wrong way. And a lot of people, they like to go, they have this herd mentality, if the people are doing bad, then they'll do bad with the people. And they'll almost use them as the excuse. They'll say, why are you doing bad? Well, everybody in the university is going to pubs and drinking alcohol, so I must be safe somehow, because so many people are doing the bad. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, don't accept the false security of those surrounding you, because you will die alone. You will die by yourself. And you'll be resurrected by yourself, and you'll be put on trial by yourself. That you'll die, you'll be resurrected, put on trial, all by yourself. In verse 5, and this is a verse that I've contemplated a lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ كَلَّا, nay, that لَوْ is if. لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ, if you knew عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, if you knew the knowledge of certainty, a certainty of knowledge. And notice how big the brackets are here. It says, the end result of piling up, you will not have occupied yourselves in worldly things. Many people who recite this surah, they come to كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Because لو, remember I said there has to be a reply. If you say if, then it has to be some reply. If you come late to class, there has to be a conclusion. So if لو comes, there has to be a second part to it. A second part to the sentence. Some people think that verse 6 is that second part. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. But it's not. The second part of that if is dropped. And that's why you'll see the large brackets here. And it's a contemplative pause. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. And every time I think when someone recites the surah and just continuously goes into the next ayah, that they haven't understood this ayah. Because a person has to think, if you knew with certainty of knowledge, what would you change in your life? What would change in your life if you really knew for certainty hellfire? What if you knew for certainty Jannah and hellfire and the resurrection? What would be happening? And it's actually a moment for the person to think, what would I be doing differently? What sins would I be desisting from? How much more goodness would I be doing if I really knew and understood hellfire and in paradise? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 6, it's an emphasis, لَتَرَوُنَّ. You will see. The lam in the beginning and then the noon with the shadda on it are both emphasis. لَتَرَوُنَّ, you will see hellfire. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, for sure. And this, remember when I said in the beginning about saying صَدَقَ اللَّهُ? This is when a person says, sees a verse like this, they should say صَدَقَ اللَّهُ and practice that. That Allah has told the truth. We will see hellfire. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promising us this. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. And in the story of Musa alayhi salam, when he cursed the people of Fir'aun, he said in his dua, and it's mentioned in the Quran, فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. He said, فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا, they'll never believe until the day when they see the painful punishment. Their iman, if they live, no matter how long of their life they live, when they see hellfire, that's the only time they'll actually believe in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that day when they're about to be thrown into hellfire, it'll be said to them, أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ. Right before they're thrown into the hell, isn't this the truth? Is this not the truth? They'll say, قَالُوا بَلَى وَرَبِّنَا. They said, indeed it is our Lord, this is the truth. We testify. It's right here. This is how far we agree. Now let's go to paradise. قَالَ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then taste that punishment because of your disbelief in it. And verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ, which is the emphasis that indeed you will see it with certainty of sight. Because actually, in the dunya, even if they saw the signs, they would say that it was magic. Right? If they saw the moon splitting, or they saw anything like that, and we saw Fir'aun, when Musa came with the staff, he said, this is magic. And on the day of judgment, it's almost as if when they see hellfire, they may say, oh, this is magic too. Oh, is the painful, you know, the fire burning your skin, is that magic also? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when they see hellfire, there won't be any of these feeble excuses anymore. They will have عين اليقين. They will have certainty of sight. Certainty of sight. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
Then on that day, لتسألن, that you will be asked, عن النعيم, that you will be asked on that day, عن النعيم, about the blessings. And the blessings that we have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that if you try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not be able to. Did anybody come? Okay, I think some people came walking to the program today, correct? Right? I know a couple of people did. The blessing of the fact that you tell your feet, okay, go forward, you know, and you move right, left, right, left. That's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cars, many of us don't recognize that blessing. Any airplanes, even a pillow, you go to sleep at night, you pillow, you're feeling a little chilly, you put on a blanket, you wake up in the morning to make wudu, and there's a hot water tap. Nobody in the past had hot water taps, right? It was very cold water, and if you lived in Pakistan or something, you know how cold the water is. You have to wake up very early to boil the water so that you can mix it with the cold water if you need to take a shower. All of these ni'am, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just don't go. They will all be questionable. You will actually be asked about these things. لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Everything that we ever enjoyed in the dunya, will be responsible for and will be questioned about it. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he speaks about this, that it's not necessarily a shame and punishment questioning. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't necessarily punish everybody by asking them about these blessings that they received, but it's a counting of the blessings. It's a counting of them. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you may know the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out hungry, and he found Abu Bakr and Umar, and they were walking around, and then a companion said, I'll make food for you, and then they made some meat. And then they ate, and then they were full. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you came out of your homes hungry, and you're only going back being satisfied and full. And he said, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said that you will be asked on the Day of Judgment about these blessings. And like I said, it's not a shame and punishment questioning, but we will be asked regarding the blessings. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was once invited for roast meat, a very fancy meal. But when he saw it, he actually didn't want to partake in the meal, and he said that the Prophet ﷺ left this dunya without satisfying himself from khubz al-sha'ir, which is barley bread. And you'll see Aisha radiallahu anha, and this was their life, when she, when they conquered Khaybah, she said, Al-ana nashba, you know, from, I said, after this day, because Khaybar was known for all its dates and so on, she said, finally we'll be satisfied and full from what? They're not going to have, you know, roast camel or something like that. She said, Al-ana nashba' min at-tamr. She said, from now on, we'll be able to satisfy ourselves with dates. With dates. And this is how they lived their lives. رضي الله تعالى عنه. And that's Surah At-Takathur.